This time, Patty will come forward for the reading of the scripture.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading is from Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. The branch from Jesse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide but what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious.
Thank you, Patty. And I believe God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Greta Weissman recall an episode one spring when she and her fellow concentration camp inmates stood for roll call for hours on end, nearly collapsing just from being so tired and from hunger and from fatigue. She said, "We noticed in one of the corners of the bleak, horrid gray place that the concrete had broken in one little spot and a flower had poked his head through. And you would see thousands of feet shuffle every morning to avoid stepping on that little flower. That tiny flower poking his head through the concrete represented for those women hope and beauty to all the women in that horrid, horrid camp of suffering. Isaiah the prophet knew what those women felt. The year was 700 B.C., The Jews had been fighting for four decades against the Assyrians and occasionally against the Egyptians. And their will to resist their enemies was nearly depleted. They were living through what had been called the first Holocaust of the Jews. Dr. Bill Self describes this awful time like this. He says, five times during these 40 years, the Assyrian army stampeded through the hill country of Israel, working terror and destruction wherever it went. With no regard for anyone's culture, with no regard for anyone's religion, with no regard for anyone's life. They came like a scorpion plague, devouring everything and everyone in their path. Over and over again, the people of Judah have been ravaged. The sounds of war were ever familiar. The cries of pain seldom ceased. Who could plant a field and have any hope that it would survive to harvest? Who could bear a child with confidence that it would reach maturity? It was a horrible, horrible 40 years in the life of Israel. But Isaiah refused to give in to the despair of his time. Isaiah still managed to hope in God, and under the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, Isaiah was able to write, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord." Isaiah was prophesying the coming of the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that Israel had been waiting for. And all around him, things appeared desolate and without any promise or hope whatsoever. The reign of Israel's greatest king, King David, the son of Jesse, was now a distant memory. Israel was a shadow of what they had once been. And he compares it to a stump that is left in the forest after a great tree has been cut down. But Isaiah says, like a flower poking his head through concrete, on this stump of Jesse will appear, and a new tree will emerge, bearing much fruit. When that day comes, the wolf will lie with the lamb, the leopard will lie with the goat, the calf with the lion, and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. This passage from Isaiah is one of the great statements of hope in all of literature. And at this time of year, when we celebrate the birth of that shoot coming from the stump of David, Jesus of Nazareth, Messiah, Savior, King, Lord of Lords, these are words as precious to our ears as they were to the people of Isaiah's time who needed hope. Hope is based always, ultimately, on our faith in an almighty God. There's no other foundation for hope in this world. Economic systems fail. Governments rise and fall. Only God's truth marches on through the ages. In the book, When God is Taken Captive, James Deloach puts it this way. He says, some times ago, I saw a photo of an old burned-out mountain shack, and all that remained was the chimney, the charred debris of what had been the family's sole possession. Everything that they owned was in that. In front of that destroyed home stood an old grandfather looking, dressed only in his underclothes, and a small boy holding his patched overalls in his hands. And it was evident that the child was crying, just weeping. Beneath the picture were the words which the artist felt the old man was speaking to the boys, to the boy. And they were simple words, yet they presented a profound theology and philosophy for life. Hush, child, God ain't dead. And that is what keeps hope alive, even in the darkest times of our world, our nation, our families, and your individual life. A baby is a sign of hope, and during this season of year, the symbol of hope is a baby in a manger. Children understand hope far better, I think, than we as adults do. Psychiatrist Elizabeth Kubler-Ross tells visiting a children's barracks in one of those German death camps after Second World War. In the horrific camps, she expected to see symbols of fear and incredible cruelty scrawled on the walls. Yet the walls of those children's barracks were covered with drawings of butterflies, a symbol, universal symbol of joy and hope and life. Where does such hope come from? That kind of hope can only come from God and your relationship with God. How else could Isaiah write of a time when the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf with the lion, and the yearling, and a little child will lead them? There was no scientific evidence that such faith would be rewarded, no philosophical optimism that could justify it. It was only faith in a righteous and an omnipotent God that this could be. Nothing is sadder than when hope dies. Resignation is the most potent sign of loss of faith in God. The atheist is not nearly as dead as the person, or let me say it even stronger, as the Christian who has simply given up trying and has walked away from a relationship with Jesus Christ. William Willimon tells about a man in the Press region of Appalachia, a coal miner, who had been out of work for months and things were really going bad quickly. And he looked up and on the porch, his children were going through a Sears and Roebuck catalog. I used to do it when I was a child, just dreaming of the things that I wanted from that catalog. He got so aggravated at them that he flew into a rage. And he grabbed a switch and he switched their legs. He grabbed the Sears and Roebuck catalog and he ripped it to pieces. And then he went and sat down in the yard. And he wept. Wept. John Jewell tells about a woman named Virginia, 19 years old and pregnant, when she went to live with her 15th set of foster parents. Her case file read like a textbook example of neglect, abuse, and bureaucratic failure. She sat silently in a chair, hands neatly clasped, staring into her lap. The foster parents, whose three children were in school, had been apprised of Virginia's story and promised that the placement would be temporary. Well, temporary was the main storyline in Virginia's life. Finally, the foster mother said, "Are you frightened, Virginia?" Kindly, she replied without looking up, "Then I've been in lots of homes." Well, the sympathetic woman tried to reassure the bewildered young mother-to-be, "Let's hope this time turns out for the best." Virginia's reply is one of those statements that just sticks to your soul and doesn't let go. It was flat, without any change of tone, and without Virginia even looking up, she said, "Hurts too much to hope." I hope you never get to that point where it hurts too much to hope. And I suspect, though, that some of you know what I'm talking about. It's common knowledge in the medical community that the holidays bring about a sharp increase in cases of depression, primarily due to people's unmet expectations of the holiday season. There's no deeper depression than that experienced by the person who cannot hope anymore. Hope is what Christmas is all about. That is why these words from Isaiah thrill our hearts when we read them during the Advent season. In the midst of a Holocaust, in the midst of societal despair and devastation, Isaiah, led by God's Spirit, dared to envision a day when God's reign would be over all the people of the earth. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. He was ascribing hundreds of years in advance the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. A Messiah will come in righteousness, shall reign triumphant. In a world of pain and defeat, in a world where might often makes right and the worst often crowds out the best that we have, the Bethlehem babe is God's blessed hope. Cruel Herod is on the throne of Judea. The deified Augustus Caesar is still extending the might of the Roman Empire, while at this time Mary and Joseph make their slow, arduous journey to Bethlehem. Yet Herod and Caesar are now but curiosities in dusty books, while the babe that Mary bore reigns in the highest of the heavens. And one day his kingdom will be made manifest, as Isaiah says. In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner to the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. That is what Christmas is about. So enjoy the lights. They're wonderful. The music, the food, the gifts, the love of family and friends. But never lose sight of the hope of Christmas. For there will come a time when you too will be going through your own time of travail, of hurt, maybe despair, and you will need to lift your eyes away from your sorrow to your Savior, from your misery to the manger. I would like to read a poem to you that's entitled, "Do You Still Have Hope?" If you can look at the sunset and smile, then you still have hope. If you can find beauty in the colors of a small flower, if you can find pleasure in the movement of a butterfly, if the smile of a child can still warm your heart, then you still have hope. If you can see the good in other people, if the rain breaking on a roof can still lull you to sleep, if the sight of a rainbow still makes you stop and stare in wonder, If the soft fur of a favored pet still feels pleasant under your fingertips, then you still have hope. If you meet new people with a trace of excitement and optimism, if you give people the benefit of a doubt, if you still offer your hand in friendship to others that have touched your life, then you still have hope. If receiving an unexpected card or letter still brings a pleasant surprise, if the suffering of others still fills you with pain and frustration, then you still have hope. If you still buy the ornaments, put up the Christmas tree, and cook the turkey, if you still watch love stories or want the innings to be happy, then you still have hope. If you can look to the past and smile, if when faced with the bad, when told everything is futile, you can still look up and end the conversation with the phrase, "Yeah, but," then you still have hope. Hope is such a marvelous thing. It bends, it twists, it sometimes hides, but rarely does hope break. It sustains us when nothing else can. It gives us reason to continue and courage to move ahead when we tell ourselves that we'd rather give in. But hope rises to the forefront. Hope puts a smile on our face when the heart cannot manage. Hope puts our feet on the path when our eyes cannot see it. Hope moves us to act when our souls are confused by the direction of our lives. Hope is a wonderful thing, something to be cherished and nurtured, something that will refresh us in return. And it can be found in each of us, and it can bring light to the darkest of places. So never, ever lose hope. Don't let that happen to you, because hope is based not on what we see in the circumstances, but hope is based on our faith in an almighty and an all-loving God. God is loving God who watches over his children. Hope is a flower breaking through a slab of concrete. Hope is a shoot coming up from the stump of Jesse. And nothing, my friends, is sadder than when hope dies in a person's heart and mind and soul. If you quit trusting God, you quit hoping in God, where do you have to turn? Hope is what Christmas is all about. This Advent and Christmas season, turn your eyes on the babe who was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the one foretold by Isaiah in the midst of the ruins of his time. Where God is, hope never dies. Jesus the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Babe of Bethlehem, is our blessed hope. May God bless you, and may you have hope in this Advent and Christmas season. Amen.